Good evening. Hi, this is Andel of Wish Upon a Star. Wish Upon a Star is an exciting program that showcases up-and-coming stars in the musical, visual, performing, creative, and literary arts arenas. We will discuss with professional guests songwriting, entertainment law, literary careers, copywriting, publishing, image brand, promoters, and great many other topics of importance in these highly competitive industries. It gives us great pleasure to introduce our special guest this week, Ms. Leah Tutt. Her biography. Ms. Leah Tutt is a financial and business consultant, author, workshop leader, speaker, and ghostwriter. Ms. Tutt has been an accountant for over 6 years with the corporate sector and the government. She has managed a $4 million budget. She is the coordinator of Apex Power, a division of Apex Power Publishers. She is the author of Building Wealth Through Challenges, which is available online at Amazon.com and at specialty retailers. Ms. Tutt says, while most accountants focus only on compliance, she and her company is proactive with customers, taxes, and financial goals. She finds every way to help a business run more efficiently and keep up with tax education. Ms. Tutt also writes business articles regularly, both online and offline. We want to say, welcome to the show, Ms. Tutt.
Thank you so much, Andel, for having me on the show. We're going to have a great time and get some good information.
Great. Well, let's start off then. There are people out there that have a business or hope to start a business one day. So we will start from the beginning. What are some mistakes that most business owners usually make?
Well, there are six major ones that we see. I'll go to each one of them, and then I'll go to each one in detail. The first one is marketing is not a priority. Number two, no business plan or is not updated or they have not looked at it in a while. Number three, not consistent follow-up on leads. Number four is they do not pre-qualify their leads. Number five, they don't solve client problems quickly to keep the clients. And the last one, people hate this one. No matter how desperate you are, you might have to fire a bad client. So let's take these individually. Marketing should be a priority. Sometimes business owners come to us because they don't have enough clients right now, but they had a big slew of clients the month before. What happened was they did not market when they had a big slew of clients. So when the clients finished, all of a sudden they have a gap in income, so they did not market during that time. You should always be marketing. Consistency is the key. Marketing should be a priority. Some people don't understand what marketing is. Marketing is not sitting in front of your computer and playing on Facebook. That is planning for your marketing if you're going to get something out of Facebook. But marketing is putting something in someone's hand, like a brochure or a business card, and offering your services or offering an opportunity for an appointment or a phone call to have an intro session. You're putting your offer to someone is what marketing directly is. And we need to get clear on that. And then number two is no business plan. Business plan, we need to have that because it tells you where you are now and where you want to go and has a budget for that. And some people I talk to, especially new entrepreneurs, they haven't even thought of a marketing budget. Have you ever heard of going to a planner and asking for some business cards for free? Why didn't cost money? We need to plan for that and budget for that. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And then also, some people lose leads because they don't keep following up. If you meet someone who says, I'm interested, you need to follow up right away within the next 24 hours with a phone call to either meet or get acquainted on the phone and start building a relationship. If someone says they are not ready yet, then we need to find out why and ask if we should check in within 2 weeks or 30 days and find out. And then sometimes people give up after the first one or two tries, when in actuality someone might want to do business with you when they're more ready in 3 months or 8 months, because they handled some situations that were more of a priority in their business or their personal life. So that needs to be looked at. And that also goes into pre-qualifying your leads. Some people are not going to be your clients because they cannot afford you, or they don't want to spend the money ever. They're just looking. We call them tire kickers. So you must know who your target market is, and that goes back to your business plan, who you are going to target to use your services, and make sure that they qualify, they fit those qualifications of the income that you're looking for. Maybe there's an age group. Maybe there's a certain industry. With me, I target business, small business owners below 50 employees, because anything above 50 employees, another company, a bigger company like the Tolush, is going to, which is an accounting firm, is going to handle those bigger companies that are over 50 employees. So you have to really know who your target market is and where they are located, so you can hang out there and where they are gathered for you already in big numbers. And also, you want to make sure when you pre-qualify people that they have a need for your services. You do that by asking a few quick questions. Like, I like to ask them, what is your biggest challenges that you're facing in business right now? For example, what are you proud of? The things you can ask. And you will get consistent answers if you ask the people who are already in your network. And you can see from those questions that you ask what common threads those people have, and that is the need that you need to fill, and see if what you have to offer is a match, and you know if you have a qualified lead or not, because you are answering their problem. Does that make sense? As entrepreneurs, we solve people's problems.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just going through the ones that you just said. So that was number three. And I think you said it was two more.
Yeah, solving problems quickly. Some people take too long to get back to a client's complaint.
Okay,
and if you don't, they're going to talk about you. Yeah, they'll talk about you over social media now, and then you don't want that to happen. So if someone has a complaint or a problem, handle it right away and leave on a good note so the person will continue to buy from you and say good things about you. Always correct a problem immediately. You're going to know there's going to be a problem sometimes. Maybe delivery didn't come on time. You need to let people know that something is going to be arriving late, or you are going to be late with the proposal, or but try to be on time. So the person
right.
Do rent, they tell you you're going to get to them on Friday. That would just be leeway. So there's some ways around it, but always handle and communicate with your clients and your prospects so they know if you are going to be a little delayed and what's happening. Or maybe a supplier is not ready yet, and that's not affect you, but you can deliver what you say you're going to do because the supplier is late. Just let your customer know.
Exactly.
And
well, you answered the second question, which was, you know, business plan. You said it was very important in your starting a business to have a business plan. But we also know that administrative duties are always left as the last thing on a to-do list. How can a business owner keep better records?
Well, if you don't have the time, then just pay someone. But there are some things you can do. First is to know the things that you should keep record of. I tell some of my business owners who are very busy, go and get a debit card or a credit card, but preferably a debit card, because that's cash, because that way you get a statement just for the business of all your everything that you're spending goes on the credit, on the debit card. That way you have a statement every month of what you spent, and for the business use only. And the debit card, you have to worry about overspending. Some use a credit card, but I prefer a debit card, and I do that myself. And you want to keep accurate records. You want to stay up on top of your accurate records. Like, that's for your tax purposes and for you to know where your income is coming from and the best revenue sources you have in your business with your products and your services. And you want to keep your gross receipts of income, that's your business income, your purchases, that things that you sold to other people or resold to your customers after you bought it from the supplier. So you might want that includes your receipt book and your cash register receipts, and your expenses, for example, the salaries, your travel, you want to keep track of your petty cash slips. All the expenses need to be logged also. And the employee records, if you have employees or contractors, you want to have records of those wages, benefits, tips, and amounts that were given and the dates. And do that so that every month you know what you did. And another thing is the also make sure you have the names of the employees, social security numbers, and their dates of employment and the time that they left. That, and that's good for the W-2 and W-4. That way, everything, if everything is organized like that, then you have all everything ready when tax time comes. Business assets were out, but you can also write them off over time. And we keep track of those, too, like your,
that's
your car,
great.
Truck, things like that.
Fine.
Said
also, Leah, sometimes people can perceive someone or a company without even getting to know them. So now you've got your business, you've got your records. How does one build credibility if nobody really knows you?
Well, there are a few things you can do with that. First thing is you always want to deliver value and content and be reliable. Keep your word. You say you're going to come at a certain time, be there a few minutes early, because people look at that. Your how you look and your materials that you market with build credibility. You also have to be professional. Some business owners give me, when I go to a networking event, they give me a card where they scratched out an old phone number. That's a bad reflection on you to have something that's scratched up looking that you're giving to someone. Just go get another card. Vista Print is only $5 for shipping and $20 if you want them to take that Vista Print off the back. And then also, it's good to start getting your first clients because then you can get them to give you some testimonials that can boost your credibility also. And when you're very new and you don't have much credibility, then you can go by how you got, you let people know a brief summary of how you got your skills.
Good.
Planning you've had to in corporate America first.
Good point.
Also, your own story of how you overcame a challenge related to your business and succeeded. So that can do that also. But when you got people to refer you, that works even better, or testimonial.
Okay, you had spoke of, and like I said, everything is very, very important, and I know our viewers and listeners are actually taking notes. You said marketing. Marketing definitely is an important commodity in a business. But how do you get more time when you are too busy with your business to market consistently? What are some of the other inroads you can use?
I get that often. That's why in the virtual assisting part of the business, we do some marketing for some of our clients, about the actual marketing steps. What we also do is we put in systems in place because there's no point in typing out every address each time you want to send out a newsletter or an article to your clients to keep them in contact with the prospects.
Right.
You can just put in one of these contact management systems. Like there's MailChimp, there's Sales Genie, all these are out there on the internet. Just push one button and everyone gets it. If you're running out of time, just hire a virtual assistant like me and my team, and we can help you with marketing tasks. And also, some of it is a matter of time management. There are always going to be distractions in life. Have to put that in your calendar as well as actual business time that you're actually going to market every week, and you're going to have time where you're going to plan for your marketing. We call that planning time, and we call it actual marketing time. You put those in your calendar. If you can do 2 hours a day or 2 hours once a week, as long as it is consistent, that is the key. The more often, the better your results.
Oh,
so people
good.
Need to get a lot more consistent.
Yeah, that time management, I know in business course, that was extremely important, and especially now when we've got even with the computers, you still have to answer email. Everybody's doing email. But another factor is everyone wants everyone they meet to eventually become a customer or a client.
Right.
How can you accomplish this without being too pushy in your sales pitch?
Well, that goes back to pre-qualifying, because if you pre-qualify them and ask them questions, you will find the people who are really ready now who wanted yesterday, which you have to offer.
Oh,
trying to figure it out, and they can't figure out. They're fed up, and they want a solution yesterday. And those are the people you want. But also realize that lots of other people are after that client too, but that client is so ready. The part of your job is to educate the people who are on the fence. They know they need some help, but they're going to try to figure it out some first for a while first. And you have to let them know that, wait a minute, you haven't gotten results yet. Just sample us with this lower fee here, and just try us, and we'll see if there's a match, and then give them some results. They can see, oh, this works, let me go to her some more. Because these results work, I'm getting more clients, I'm getting better results of what I was looking for, and people will do more because you're giving them, because you promised them some benefits, and you delivered on that, they got results. Entrepreneurs want results.
Excellent.
And sometimes entrepreneurs focus on what their credibility is. We need to focus on results that the client wants. That's what they're willing to pay for, results.
Great. What we're going to do now is take a little break, Leah, so you can get a drink of water, and we will be right back. Welcome back. This is Andel Banks, your host of Wish Upon a Star. And we want to also mention, for comments and suggestions, please send an email to musicradio34@gmail.com. Again, please give us your comments and suggestions, Wish Upon a Star, at an email address, musicradio34@gmail.com. We're going to return to our distinguished guest, Miss Leah Tutt. Leah,
hi.
We had talked about marketing and how we know everybody, one of us who are in business, we always want to get customers and we don't have time to do anything. Is there such a thing as a quick method to get customers?
Oh, sure. Well, do realize that people are customers of yours because they know you, they like you, and they trust you. So the first thing you would want to do is send out an introductory letter, one page, no more than that, because people have a shorter attention span now with all this internet quick stuff. So send them an introduction that lets them know what you're doing now, and send it to your friends, family, and people who are centers of influence, leaders in your community, and how you can benefit them or people they know. And let them know that you would appreciate that if they would let others know about what you do. And then give them a friendly phone call. Give them a few days to receive it first. And then give them a friendly phone call and say, hi, how are you? I'm just checking in because I sent you a brief letter with your feedback. And ask for feedback, because when you get feedback, you will learn how to make the letter even better, more targeted to what people need, because some of those people that are in your network already, we're going to have a problem that your services can solve, or they will know someone who does. Also, if you are in associations, or if you go to church and some of your target clients are there, make sure they all know what you do. Get a little business card going, or a flyer from Kinko's, for example, that looks nice, though, with writing that's easy to see and understand. Don't get too fancy, but something that's very nice and easy to read so they can see what you do. And be funny and be a helper, because in associations and in church, people help you as they see you helping others. And
that's
a great way to get clients.
Right, that's a great point, and I've used that.
Right.
And what happens is,
a lot of people are already.
Right, and what happens is, okay, I've used that, and it does work, but what do you do when you don't, after you do it maybe one or two, three steps, and the person doesn't respond? Do you cut them off of the list, or how do you handle those that really don't respond after three or four contacts?
Well, here's the thing. When you send out email, it's only a low risk, or mailing, it's only a small response rate anyway. They're saying that 2% is pretty good. The point is, most people are not going to open the email because they get so inundated. Same with the mail. That's why we always talk, I was saying to myself, we call you. After a few days, you've gotten it. We gave you a few days to get the mail or the email, then we call you. And I find that some people never got the email because it got in spam, or they didn't look at it, they don't know they got it. So when you keep in contact with them, they love the phone calls because it's more personal. People still like a personal touch. And so when I call back, or one of my team calls back, they appreciate that. Oh, I'll look after it. Let me look for it again. Or we can say, I'll send it to you again, and oh, well, I'll look out for it this time. And they do, and we get a better response rate when we call after we send out the email. And you can just, if you don't have time to call a lot a day, you can call a few people each day, 3 or 4 a day. It will make a difference when you follow up with phone calls.
Okay, great. So what I was going to say, you've answered that as well, is because at exhibits and festivals and seminars, we can get people who express an interest, you know, like at your particular seminar, your book seminar I went to, and I got the card. Mm-hmm. But if your product, let's say I was a vendor too, and I mm-hmm. got people who express interest in my artwork, but they never bought, what is a congenial way to handle this customer? Is it the same way you just said, to telephone them again or whatever?
Yes, there is, but when you call back, you want to get their feedback and find out if they have a need or how you can help them with your service. And if they don't need you, then you can ask if they know someone who might need that and see what they say. You don't want to sound pushy. Then you also, then you can ask them. If they say no, then right now you can ask them, is it okay to call back in 30 days? And if they say no, they're not interested, then you know to take them off your list.
Okay, very good.
You can ask them, would you like me to take you off the list, or would you like to continue to be on our list and getting tips?
Yeah, that's a good strategy. We've got our marketing, we've got our plan, we've got our customers, and we're doing pretty well. But as we know, as the years go on, existing a business goes, the prices goes up. So is there a good time to raise your prices or fees in an effective manner?
Well, you can raise your fees anytime you want to, but if you need to, because your prices have gone up. But there's a way to do it so that your customers are not going to be scared away or screaming at you.
Right.
You always want to add value before you raise your fees. And there are different ways you can do that. You can just raise it for the new customers and let your current customers stay at the fee for a little while. Or you can go ahead and promise more value and give more value to everyone, including your new customers. They will love to see more value if you want to raise the price. So you can give them an extra session of consulting. You can give them a free e-book. You can give them a free gift, something, or get them a ticket to an event because they've been with you for so long, a free ticket for the event, or a reduced cost to an event because they've been a customer for so long. And then raise the fee even more for the new people, for example. There's some steps, but the main thing is to just add value when you want to raise your fees. And you could also, another way to do it is to bundle some of your services and raise the fee that way. For example, would be, say you have a salon, and they have, it's a nail salon and manicures, pedicures, so, and foot massages, just package it all together in a bundle so that each one separately is more than the bundle, but collectively it still raised your price some because it got grouped together. So that's another way to bundle services or products. You can also target a bigger customer that has more money, and then they expect higher fees because they're used to paying a premium for top quality work. And you can also raise fees at regular intervals, like every quarter, raise it a little bit. So it depends on how you want to handle that. Just be prepared to explain why you are raising your fees. That's all you need to do. And consider the current cost and future cost, like 1 or 2 years ahead, so you can make sure you're raising your fees so that you don't have to do it again a few months right after you raise the fee. And so, because you don't want to do that from poor planning.
Right.
So just plan well.
Great. Another aspect that we look for when we're in business is something that also makes, a business owner a little perturbed sometimes, is a business bloodline is their cash flow. What are some of the most efficient ways relative to payments that you can keep that cash flow going?
Okay, well, there are a few things you can do. Before you start services, either have people pay in full or pay a deposit. Some businesses I've run into are crying because they did work and did not accept the deposit. And the customer changed their mind. They did some work and never got paid. So always have at least a deposit. That helps with the cash flow, too. And then if there's a deposit, then you want a retainer. You want a and I'm not coming in certain intervals already agreed on, whether it's every week or every month, but it should all be in writing, a deposit, and then maybe a third down, another third down when some more work is done, another third down when some more work is done, but all this should be in agreement so you have your cash flow. And also, you have a system in place and in writing in the agreement that if they pay early, like a 30-day net, I mean, if you're going to pay in 30 days, which is what the government or big companies pay, but you get a little bit of a discount, like a 2% discount or a 5% discount, you pay early, like 10 days instead of 30 days. So businesses offer a discount for paying early, for example, so a little bit discount. And people like that, too. That helps the cash flow as well, because they're encouraged to pay not just on time, but early. And when people pay late, they should pay a late fee. And that should be an agreement also. That will help the cash flow because people don't want to pay a late fee. They would rather pay you on time if they see they're going to have to pay a late fee.
Right.
They don't pay you on time. And then again, going back to marketing, always be marketing. That helps your cash flow because you keep having customers in because you have consistent marketing. That helps your cash flow too. And also, knowing that product or services give you bigger revenue, you do more of that to help your cash flow. And whatever it's not selling, might want to cut that out.
Right. Very good. Okay, let's switch gears a little bit, and we'll go into another aspect of something that you very well know about and have done. That is authorship or writing a book. I think somewhere in all of our minds, I know in mine, we want to write something, if it's poetry or prose or book or your life story.
Right.
So getting to a specific topic as that and writing a book or poetry or whatever, just how does a person know what the initial steps are in planning to write a book?
Well, you first want to figure out what you want the book to do for you and what you want it to do for your reader. Example would be, do you want it to be a nonfiction book that will inspire your reader to action? Maybe you have a cause you believe in. An example would be helping more teenagers get through school and not drop out. Then you would have action steps in there, and you would have some examples, and you would maybe target the church market because families are there with kids. Might want to target some social workers because they have at-risk youth. So you have to figure out what you're trying to say and the target audience before you write the book. Think about that first. And, of course, you want them to, because they're at school, so you have to write toward what the audience would need. And you do some research to find out what steps are being taken to help solve that problem and what is missing, and maybe you can fill that gap with some research, some statistics, and some ideas. And we have experts comment in there too as an example. But you have to write it to your audience and what they want to benefit out of it and what do you want to do. For example, some people write a book because they want to be a consultant, a better consultant. So that means that for you, you want it to help you build your business. You write it with that in mind also. Put your information in there for contacting you and let them know in the book that they can reach you for consulting and workshops and so forth. So again, what is the book going to do for you and for your target audience? And then you should also be reading and know very well your industry that you're writing for. So a question you would be, if you're going to write a book, have you read other books in that genre or industry? Then you can understand some of the rules in writing that particular industry.
Great.
And that's true for this nonfiction or fiction. There are certain steps, certain guidelines that the different genres have that you should follow in the book.
Excellent.
Okay,
Leah, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back and continue this discussion on I Want to Write a Book. We'll be right back.
Sounds great.
Welcome back. This is Andale Banks, your host of Wish Upon a Star. And saying if you want comments, give us some comments and suggestions, please send them through our email, musicradio34@gmail.com. We are broadcasting on www.bbsradio.com, Station 2, Wish Upon a Star.
Again, thanks for listening, and for all comments and suggestions, please send us an email to musicradio34@gmail.com. Returning to our very special guest, Miss Leah Tutt. Okay,
hi.
Leah, I have a final draft of my work that I want to write a book. I've got copyright. I've had it copyrighted. So how do you approach a publisher about your written work?
There are a few things to keep in mind. Let's first go to some basics that I see people make mistakes at. The key, again, is consistency. The book has to look good. It has to have consistency in its format. For example, each chapter heading should be on a new page, and each chapter heading should be in the same style and same font size. And the text, for example, the writing within the body of the book, that should be the same font, style, and text. So you don't want to go through different textiles because it does not look nice. I say that because when you're writing a book, you're doing it over a period of time. People get sleepy, I guess, and they forget the font that they started off with and have different fonts in the text, and it doesn't look nice. Unless something different, like a quote you're putting in, you want to make that a different font, but the point is, it should be consistent. So what you could do is have a style sheet first. And so you put down the heading is, for example, Bookman Old Style, the size of the font is 16 for the heading for the chapter, as an example. And the subtopic is, for example, Calibri and size 10. So that way, every time you get to a new heading and a new subheading, you know what font size and what style it is. And the same with the text, you will put that in your style sheet too. And so always be margins around all around the each page. There should also be page numbers. I say that because a poet came through with an awful idea that there were no page numbers. He figured the reader wants just to figure it out. People don't want to do that. You have to make it easy for the reader. They want page numbers. They can easily find what they want. They might want to start in the middle of the book because that really touched them the last time they picked it up. So they have to have page numbers. When you turn the book, you should also have no typos. So you need to have it professionally edited, and we do that too with professional editors on staff. And it also should be proofread and criticized. So have your friends look at parts of it. You might give one chapter to a friend, another chapter to another friend, get their feedback on it. And when I did that book you're talking about, I went out to my target audience. I went to a carnival and gave different chapters out to people and asked for their feedback. And they told me, well, this is good that you put here about the finance, but you need to put more of this information here. And I kept getting that, so I put that in the book. And so when you have your audience, it's good to give out articles or little samples of your book and get feedback. And that helps get ready, too. And what's important is that the publishers want to know how big is your platform. In other words, how many people do you know? And we take smaller books, for example, because these bigger publishers want a career author. They want you to write a book every year. If you're someone like we get who just wants to write a book one time to say they wrote a book for their friends and their family and their network of association members in their region, then that's all they want. Major publisher will not take that. That's self-publishing, and we will help you with that. We take the smaller orders. So that's important to know. Yeah, know how big your market wants to be. If you want to be global or national, you have to have a big following, and you build up that big following before your book is ready for publisher. You want to write a book, start building your platform now on social media, your database, go to a lot of events, give seminars, do a lot of things. I'm out there all of the time because I have a lot to say, and people value the information. And it's all about sharing. See, if you want to be a bigger author, you have to get out there in a bigger way, reach a lot more people, and keep in contact with them.
That's a very good
point. And one more point that's very important is there are a lot of authors out there trying to get published. What sets you apart is having a marketing plan. Because whether you go to a big publisher or you're going to self-publish, the publisher want to know, what are you going to do to help market the book? So marketing plans should put down, they ask you, how many people you know on Facebook, how many people you know on Twitter, how many people in your database, they ask you that. from the publisher. Also, some publishers only handle certain types of books. So you want to make sure that the publisher that you go to handles or takes your type of book. Some publishers don't take science books. Some don't take poetry. You have to find out in a good place, literary marketplace, they will tell you what publishers take what.
That's my next question. You seem to be always way ahead of me, because my next question was, okay, that's a very good point. Most big-time publishers want career authors because they already know what their background and history is. So if you're looking, so how do they make the decision? They make the decision, number one, if it's a career author. But what about the content of the material? Let's say it's not a career author, but the content or the manuscript is very good. What about that? What do they look for? Well, do they look for a certain genre? Is it love, murder, you know, that sort of thing? Or what's the going identifying in publishing now? I know most of them are mysteries because I have a lot of the books myself, Sheldon and all of them.
Right.
Is that what they're looking for?
Well,
do they look, are publishers looking for something that, in what you might say, current?
Well, yes, they are, and again, it goes back to what they're looking for. You have to find out the type of books that each publisher is looking for, and then you send it out to different publishers. You don't just send your one book out to just one publisher. Send it out to different ones until you get a yes. And then these days, even the well-known authors or those are self-publishing because you can get it out there faster. Because these big publishers, they're talking about 6 months to 18 months just to get your book out because of the long process that it takes, and the other authors that they're working with, too, so it takes a long time with a big publisher to get the book out in the first place.
Right. Okay, let's jump off of that ladder and say, okay, you're not taking my book. What are your comments or ideas or even whether it's feasible for somebody to try to publish their own book?
Okay, well, that's good, too. A lot of people are doing that, publishing your own book. Again, make sure it's professionally edited and that you have, means you're going to be marketing yourself pretty much. Mainly, you have a definite marketing plan and start talking to people while you're writing your book. So you can start building up your platform and start speaking now because you can tell people that the book is coming out and you can start giving speeches. And as you give speeches about some things that are in your book, you might find that you're adding to your book or even fine-tuning it more based on the feedback from your audiences. Now, as you put your audiences out there, and you can tell them the book is coming out such and such a month or such and such a date, and you're taking pre-orders, and that helps people get excited about a book that's coming out also.
That's good. That's a good point. Great.
And then you can upload...
Well, how do you get people... That's one of the ways you can get self-publishing recognized. How do you get a publisher to really recognize you?
Well,
what
that's
else
the thing.
Do you have
sometimes
to do to say, okay, you send it to 3, 4, 5, or 6 people. What is your intro to make this publisher look at you more so than the other people?
Well, that's especially a strong query letter. Usually you want a strong query letter with 2 or 3 sample chapters. It tells you in the literary marketplace as to what they're looking for, but usually, and you call a publisher to make sure. But they look for usually an outline, 2 or 3 sample chapters, and a query letter that tells them your background, why you are credible to write this book, and a synopsis of what the book is about and why it will be a good seller. And then also you include a marketing plan. So some writers don't put a marketing plan with that, and you should, because helps you stand out, because you can say, well, I'm already on the speaker circuit. I already have a huge following of 50,000 on Facebook, for example. I already have a database of 100,000, for example. And so when you have a big database or you're already on the speaker circuit, that makes you look more marketable.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. That's why we're different. We help you build your following. When
right.
you want to help you self-publish here at Apex, Power Publishers, we help you build your following while you're writing the book. We can't just have you write the book and put it out there and all of a sudden, well, we say that now let's build a following. No, it does not work that way. We help you build the following before the book comes out. So as soon as you start putting pen to paper, you should already have started building your following.
Okay, we're going to take another short break, Leah. And when we come back, we're going to wrap this up. so that you can tell us about what you had on sale and purchased that you've printed. So we'll be back in 1, 2, 30 seconds. Hi, this is Adele Banks, your host of Wish Upon a Star. I'm returning with our guest today, Miss Leah Tutt. We want to say again, if you want to give comments and suggestions, please send an email to us at musicradio34@gmail.com. We're also broadcasting on www.bbsradio.com, station 2. Now, returning to our guest, Ms. Leah. Leah, tell us.
Yes.
For our listening audience, I want to write a book. And I went to an artist forum, and there was somebody said that was there that said they would help me. But what are some resources that I can use, or a person who wants to write a book, to really help them? Notable resources and references for a beginner writer.
Okay. Well, there is a magazine called Writer's Digest, and sometimes they have articles in there from writers that give you tips on how to write. And that helps
Writer's Digest.
And Writer's Digest is in big bookstores like Barnes & Noble and others. But it's a magazine, and it's called Writer's Digest, and they have writing tips. And also, there's a place called Fiverr, and that's good for helping you. You pay $5, and you get someone to critique your cover design on your book, for example. So that's another resource, and that's online, Fiverr, F-I-V-E-R-R, Fiverr.com.
Okay.
And then with Amazon, you can upload your book onto Amazon's website if you want to go through all that layout. It has to be properly formatted for them to be able to upload it, though. But that's a good resource, and we can help you upload that if you like, because that's being proper format for it to be uploaded.
Okay, you're going to give us all that information. But one last question. Do you really think a person can earn a living writing? And the reason why I said that, when I went to this forum that I went to, was mostly for artists and artisans and everything. This one guy was there, and he said he had wrote this book, and it was about energy and how we are really using too much in the ozones and all of that. And he was saying he couldn't get anybody to really follow him with that. So can you really make a living, or do you have to choose what to write in order to do that? You can't write what's in your heart. What do you think?
Well, you have to find a balance. You have to find out what your market is. If it's a consumer, you have to find out what their concerns are. And you do that by asking the consumer questions. You can go to, for example, SurveyMonkey. And design a survey and put out to your community
on
the social media.
Okay, hold on. Can you say that again? Survey Monkey?
Survey Monkey.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a free survey service up to a certain limit that you can design a survey to put it out to your audience on Facebook, Twitter, Google, or everywhere online, or to your email list and ask them questions to find out what their concerns are, and you can write to their concerns. And find where your passion matches that, because it's all right to have a passion, but you have to find a need for that. People usually have more than one skill or passion. So pick the one that fills a need that people want to solve or that they're curious about. So you ask them questions. And don't make it too long. 3 to 4 questions is big enough, because people get too tired of a survey if it's too long sometimes. So you want a good response. And after you send out the survey, call people up, because sometimes people say they didn't get the survey. That they look, or they open their email, so call them up. I send out surveys. I'll call up some of them who didn't respond. Not everybody, but I'll call up some of them, and I find out get the survey done or given to me because I called up a few people.
Excellent.
And
we're getting ready
on the survey.
Right. We're getting ready to wrap up, so let's go back to the beginning again and give us those 4 or 5, 6 points you said, number one, about how to start a business. What was those 5 points that you had brought up? Marketing
Marketing is a priority.
Okay,
you want to decide time every week or preferably every day for marketing, because that's a priority, because no marketing means no clients. You also want to make sure you have a business plan. It doesn't have to take too long. Some people take too long for business plan. That's fine for the bank, but for you internally, you just need to know basically who your target audience is, what you have to offer, what solution you're solving, and your budget. And you can add on to that because the lender or investor wants a lot more detail than that. But for you, you need to know what you're doing, who your target market is, what budget you have to reach them, and how you're going to get to them. And that's basically a beginning of a marketing plan that will at least get you started. And you also want to start building credibility right away by delivering on your promises. And when you have a customer who loves what you do and got great results from you, always get a testimonial when someone got great results from you with a picture, because that helps with your credibility also. And you also want to have fun doing your business, because if you have fun doing your business, you enjoy it, then you will want to market and show your business with others. And that's what marketing is, showing your business with others. You also want to follow up on all leads and all questions that you get. You also want to pre-qualify your leads, make sure that they can afford you and that they need your services before you take time to see them. And that can be done over the phone or when you first meet them by asking them just a few quick questions. You don't want to ask too many questions if they might be scared because you're giving them a long interview. You just want a few quick questions to get an idea they can meet, that they would need you, or that they would be able to be a partner with you to just do some projects jointly with you. You also want to solve client problems or questions right away, within the next, well, right away as soon as you can. And if someone is a bad client, such as someone who's always criticizing, always complaining, and so much so that you kind of hate having to deal with a person, then maybe you need to fire the person, especially if they don't pay that well. So those are the top concerns that business owners we need to help them with.
All right. Now tell us about your book and where people can actually either contact you and find where and get your book.
Okay, well, the book, Building Wealth with Challenges, is on Amazon.com. And if they come to the website, Apex Power Publishers Co., again, ApexPowerPublishersCo.com, they can come to that website and give us their contact information, and they'll be given some free tips twice a month. And when they give us contact information, and you can keep checking back the website, Apex Power Publishers .com, and get free tips. And we also are available for consulting and doing business analysis to help you be more profitable and get more clients and have a good business.
Oh, that sounds absolutely great. What I want to say is thank you so much, Leah. It was absolutely wonderful, and I'm sure our audience got a lot of great tips. They can also get this in the archives. Once we actually conclude the program, your particular one will be in the archives no later than Friday. Again, Leah, this has been absolutely great, and I thank you so much.
And thank you so much for having me on your show.
Great. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Andel Banks, your host for Wish Upon a Star. I thank you so much for listening, and don't forget, Wish Upon a Star can ask for statements, or if you know somebody who would love to be on the show, please contact us at an email, musicradio34@gmail.com. We're broadcasting every other Wednesday at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on station www.bbsradio.com, station 2. Again, this is Andel, your host, and Denise Banks saying, keep reaching for the stars. Thank you so much, and enjoy your week.